Al-Bayan Radio presents a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi
presented by Farhan bin Rafi' Ahmed.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Indeed, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His help, His assistance and guidance in all things. He whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala guides, there is no misguidance for him. And he whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no guidance for him, except through the will and permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness and testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib al-Hashimi al-Qurashi was the final messenger and prophet sent to all of mankind. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam, do not die except that you are Muslims. Amma ba'd. Walillah alhamd, today we are on the 14th lesson of our lessons in the short commentary of the 42 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And by the permission and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been able to reach hadith number 8. Walillah alhamd. And as per usual, we'll begin with the Arabic, and then we'll go into the translation, and then the commentary bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. قال إمام النووي رحمه الله تبارك وتعالى عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ويقيم الصلاة ويؤت الزكاة فإذا فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام وحسابهم على الله رواه البخاري ومسلم. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah says, on the authority of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been commanded to fight against the people until they testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and they establish the prayer and give their mandatory charity. And if they do this, then protected from me is their lives and their wealth, except by right of Islam, except by the rights of Islam. And their accountability and reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. Subhanallah, this hadith is one of the most famous ahadith between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. This hadith itself is in it the rights and the sanctity of the Muslims, and when does someone's right need to be upheld. And in it also is a command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that needs to be explained. And as always, usually what we would do is we would go through the biography or a short biography of the narrator, but walillah alhamd, we have already taken the biography of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma in the hadith number 3. So we will go straight into the hadith, and because of this, walillah alhamd, the class won't go on for too long. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umirt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I have been commanded. And this command is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not through anyone, not from anyone else. For it is that I have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an uqatil. Over here, there is a difference between uqatil wa aqtul. In the Arabic language, there is a difference between these two words. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said aqtul, then over here it is to fight, to kill. regardless of whether they are fighting back or not. يعني it is only specific for us or for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight. For over here, he didn't use this word. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, an uqatil. Uqatil over here means that there are two sides. Means that each side wants to fight the other. It means that each side wants the death of the other. For over here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an-nas, the people. For what over here this means is specifically the disbelievers. Those who do not believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we know this? Is because of what comes after. Hatta yashhadu, until they testify, until they proclaim. Over here, we have to understand a few things, and it needs an explanation. This hadith specifically was narrated when? It was narrated near the final years of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. How do we know this? Because there are many narrations of this same hadith found in the books of hadith, and many of the narrators are those who embraced Islam in the latter years. Why is this important? This hadith is specific to when the Muslims are in a state of power, when they are ruled and governed by Islam in their own state, when the Muslims have protection and their own armies, specifically when the Muslims have their word as one. In Mecca, when the Muslims were persecuted and when the Muslims were scattered, يعني some of the Muslims at that time frame in Mecca, some of them were in Mecca and some of them were in Abyssinia, seeking refuge wherever they could. A time of weakness. And in a time where they were being persecuted and killed. Over here, we don't have a single hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight back. We don't have any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take up arms against those who took arms upon them, to the extent where they were driven out of Mecca in the years of famine. For over here, we know that in a time of weakness, which is very similar to what we have today, and we don't have an Islamic state today. For over here, this hadith is not to be used in times of weakness, as mentioned by the scholars, that it is to be used in a time when we, the Muslims, have power. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this. Then, a second tanbih, a second clarification that needs to be made is about the word jihad. About the word of struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what needs to be known is obviously that what comes to the mind when the word jihad is said is fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this context, fighting in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a Muslim needs to ensure one thing and needs to understand one thing, that the fighting itself is not the ghaya of a believer. It is not the goal of a Muslim. A Muslim does not want bloodshed. A Muslim is not the one who is bloodthirsty and violent. In fact, the jihad and the fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a wasila, is a means to achieve the goal. And what is the goal that the Muslim would ultimately love for him to be achieved? Is tawheed, establishing tawheed on this earth, the oneness and proclamation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one true Lord, and all that is worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are false deities. The third clarification that needs to be made is over here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلْ, I have been commanded to kill, to fight. For over here, what needs to be asked is this the first option? is fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the enemies of Islam, is that the first option? يعني مثلا, you are in the Muslim armies and you come across a town of a people who do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Ahl al-Kitab and the Majus, from the people of the book and the Zoroastrians. Then over here, the scholars of Islam mention that they have three options. The first is that they embrace Islam. Their lives will be saved, as well as their wealth, and they will become part of the Muslim body, and they will be protected like any other part of that body. They will be not mistreated as new Muslims, but rather they will be like brothers and sisters to the Muslim community. The second option is they reject Islam. And not only do they reject Islam, they themselves want to fight as well. For over here, then the Muslim armies would proceed to fight this people who have not only rejected, but also want to take up arms against the Muslims. And the third option is that they agree to enter the state of the Muslims. They don't have to embrace Islam, and they can keep their faiths and practice it also, and they will be protected from the enemies, and they will not be allowed to be oppressed even by the Muslims. They are allowed to trade with the Muslims and others, and their rights will be upheld. All of these rights, but they must contribute to the Islamic State. They must contribute to the Muslims by paying a tax, a levy, that is called the jizya. A fourth tanbih, a fourth clarification, is that Muslims are a people of their word. Al-Muslimuna ala shurutihim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the Muslims are upright in their conditions. Yani they do not transgress, they keep to their word. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, as found in Majmu' al-Fatawa, regarding this specific hadith, he says, مُرَادُهُ قِتَالُ الْمُحَارِبِينَ الَّذِينَ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ فِي قِتَالِهِمْ لَمْ يَرِدْ قِتَالَ الْمُعَاهِدِينَ الَّذِينَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِوَفَاءِ عَهْدِهِمْ. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that the meaning of this hadith specifically, I have been commanded to fight those who are waging war. I have been commanded to fight those who are waging war, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called us to fight. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says it does not mean to fight those who have made peace, with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to fulfill their peace. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in continuing the hadith, حَتَّى يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Until they testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, they establish the prayer and they give the mandatory charity. Over here, the scholars speak about an important topic. Is all three of these things needed? يعني if a tribe was on the way of the armies of the Muslims, مثلا, did they need to be called to do all three of these acts? The shahada, the testimony of faith, the salah and the zakah. The scholars say no. They are saved by just merely the testimony of faith, the shahada. The one who says the shahada, the testimony of faith, is saved. What is the evidence for this? In Sahih Muslim, there is a hadith on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of Khaybar, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ هَذِهِ الرَّايَ رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that I will indeed give this banner in the hand of one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory through him. يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory upon the hands of whom I give this banner to. Umar radiallahu an, he says, I never wished for leadership except for that day. For I came close hoping that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call me. Yani he wanted to be the one who would get this banner. And then the hadith continues, فَدَعَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلِيَ بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ فَأَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called on Ali ibn Abi Talib, his son-in-law and cousin, and gave him the banner. And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? إِمْشِ وَلَا تَلْتَفِتْ حَتَّى يَفْتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Proceed and do not look around, do not deviate until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you victory. قَالَ فَسَارَ عَلِيٌ شَيْئًا ثُمَّ وَقَفَ وَلَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ. That he says that Ali radiallahu anhu proceeded a bit. He walked a bit and then he stood still. And he did not turn his face in his hirs, in his manner of following the strict conditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of do not deviate. Yani he wanted to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something, but he stood straight and he did not move his face in either direction. And the hadith says, فَسَرَخَ. He shouted, Ya Rasulullah, ala mada uqatil? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an is not facing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, imshi, go on, proceed, wala taltafit. Do not deviate, do not move your head and look left or right. For in his strict obeying the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, what am I fighting them for? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَاتِلْهُمْ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Ali ibn Abi Talib, fight them until they testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ مَنَعُوا مِنْكَ دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and if they do this, then they have protected from you their blood and their wealth. يعني you have no way of going into any of those things. You have to stay away if they do this one thing. For over here, this last two lines is the shahid of the hadith in this regard. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that from them testifying and proclaiming the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is enough for you to not fight them anymore. This is what you are asking them for. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ, except by the right of Islam. And this will be explained inshaAllah in the hadith number 14, bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the blood of a Muslim cannot be spilt except by these three things. يعني مثلا, some of it is apostasy, the had of zina, and there are other reasons why the Muslim judge can perform capital punishment on a person if they transgress a certain law. And again, I feel like what needs to be mentioned is that this is in an Islamic context, when governed under the Sharia. Please do not do anything stupid in your backyard. Yani there are things and aspects of the Sharia you can perform in your own home. Yani مثلاً eating the halal, avoiding the haram, avoiding riba, avoiding zina, praying and fasting, maintaining the salah, maintaining the adhan, building the masajid. These things are things that you can perform and maintain, aspects of the Sharia that you can do. However, if you see someone stealing, do you take his hand? Over here we say no. There is a legal system, a due process that needs to take place for the judgments, the hudud, that need to be established. Wallahu a'lam. In other narrations that are mentioned in the books of hadith, on this hadith specifically, is the one that's mentioned by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when he says this hadith, for those who refuse to pay the zakah, illa bihaqqiha, that from the rights of the Muslims, from the right of Islam, afwan, is, for instance, paying the zakah. And alhamdulillah, we already covered this on the five pillars of Islam and what needs to be upheld of this. But we have other examples, like the example of Umar radiallahu anhu, who says that had a people denied Hajj and refused to perform Hajj, then this is something that we would fight them over. For over here in the Islamic context, there are certain elements that can be fought against. Mathalan, if a people, if a Muslim community, if a Muslim nation, for instance, rejects the adhan, or rejects building the masajid, or يعني, goes against one of the shara'i' of Islam, one of the symbols of Islam. Over here, the scholars mention that in an Islamic context, they are to be fought over these issues. Wallahu a'lam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and their accountability is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if they say the shahada, the testimony of faith, we are not responsible for whether they are sincere or not. And their actions will be judged by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, there is a hadith on the authority of Abu Khudair, subhanallah, is that a man who was the first of the Khawarij. A man who was from the first of the Khawarij. From one of the companions who narrated that a man was the first of the Khawarij. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from his offspring will be the Khawarij. But what the hadith says is that a man goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, ittaqillah. O Messenger of Allah, fear Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَوَلَسْتُ أَحَقَّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ أَن يَتَّقِيَ اللَّهِ. Woe to you, am I not the most entitled person on the face of the earth who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? يعني, he had the nerve to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallam is saying, is there anyone who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than me? For then Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu an, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ya Rasulullah, ala adribu unuqah. He says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, shall I not strike his neck? Shall I not kill him, Ya Rasulullah? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La, la'allahu an yakuna yusalli. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, perhaps he is of those who preserve the prayers. Then Khalid radiallahu anhu says something that's very, يعني, very insightful, subhanallah. And this is, يعني, he was a new Muslim at that time also. This is something that needs to be thing that he understood, that Khalid ibn Walid at that time embraced Islam at a later age. But what he says, وَكَمْ مِنْ مُصَلِّنْ يَقُولُ بِلِسَانِهِ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He says, and how many of those who pray proclaim their tongues, proclaim by their tongues what is not inside of their hearts. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu says that how many people who pray say things with their tongue what is not in their hearts. فأبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إني لم أمر أن أنقب قلوب الناس ولا أشق بطونهم. He says that I have, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that I have not been ordered to search the hearts of the people, and I have not been ordered to cut open their bellies. We go by what is apparent. We are told to check if they say it, but we leave the sincerity of the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is between them, and it is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions, وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and that the accountability is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if they do all of these things, from the shahada, the salah, the zakah, from the testimony of faith, establishing the prayer and performing and paying the zakah, then in this dunya, their blood, their lives and their wealth will be protected. As for the akhirah, he says that the hisabuhum ala Allah, that their reckoning and accountable is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَإِنْ كَانَ صَادِقًا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ الْجَنَّةِ. He says that if he is sincere, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him through it, the paradise. And he says, وَإِنْ كَانَ كَاذِبًا فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. And he says that if he was a liar, if he was insincere, then he is from the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, who are in the lowest depths and pits of the hellfire. For over here, what is important for us to understand is that if someone says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then over here we take what is apparent. We don't say, is he only doing it for one or two reasons? Do we say over here that he's only doing it because he knew that he was going to die? Over here we say that the person has said it, and hisabuhum ala Allah, that his accountability and reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a narration in Sahih Muslim of the same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also recited, after saying this hadith, after saying وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, he recited a few verses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. So remind, O Muhammad, you are only a reminder. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرْ. You are not over them a controller. You don't control their hearts. You are just a reminder. إِلَّا مَن تَوَلَّى وَكَفَرْ. However, he who turns away and disbelieves, فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him with the greatest punishment. إِنَّا إِلَيْنَا إِيَابَهُمْ. Indeed, to us is their return. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا حِسَابَهُمْ. And indeed, upon us is their account. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us further understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these classes beneficial. Inshallah, next week, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, we will go through the biography of Abu Huraira radiallahu an. And inshallah, we hope that by next week we will be able to return to our masajid. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.